5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister. The look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, Neil!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show.
What a week. Welcome to the show, everyone. If you'd like to give us a call tonight, the number is 646-716-8791. And tonight I'm joined by Shannon and Dave, Dave Hallett, who has been part of Shannon's show. We had just returned from, and forgive Will tonight, he actually had an emergency that he's had to run out to take care of. So I hope everything's okay. But we'll be looking for Will this coming week. Tonight, what we're going to do is just kind of go over an interview or over an overview of our trip. We just returned from East Texas, visiting with Bob Garrett and going out into the field with Bob Garrett, which was, and not only Bob Garrett, let me give credit to some of the guys, some of his guys. Mo, he was gracious enough to be with us all week. Sean's awesome. Tim, all of these guys. And they really took the time to take us out, show us around. And so we're just going to give you a quick overview tonight. I know, like myself and Shannon and probably Dave and everyone else, they probably have a ton of audio and video to go through. So we'll have all of that up on the website, hopefully this week. But what did you think, Shannon? What did you think from, and we'll have Dave. Dave came on Wednesday. But what did you think, Shannon, when we first got there? What was your impression of the whole place? And what was your impression of day one of being out there?
Well, first of all, as you said, the guys, everyone was absolutely incredible. I'm pretty bummed to be back in Ohio, actually. I could still be out there easily for another couple of weeks straight. My first impression was, especially getting out to, the actual locations and the areas that we were supposed to kind of be in, that first day I noticed just how different the terrain can be, even from one side of the road to the other. It was the first thing that struck me. One side of the road is just very tall trees and very little underbrush, and you look to the other side and it's like 8 foot tall, underbrush, and very thick with thorns and spikes and things to get you. So that was the very first thing I noticed, besides the weather that we were having, of course.
Yeah, it's interesting too, the weather out there. I left Vancouver, Washington, and it was sunny and 70 here, and then we flew into Houston to just torrential downpour. So it's kind of a bummer. Some of the areas we couldn't get to because they were actually washed out. But, it's interesting, and I want to talk a little bit about Bob and his whole crew, and then kind of go into some of the things that happened, because there was a lot of things that happened. But, you know, I think I admire more, you know, I've talked to Bob for so long over the phone, and we've never actually met face to face. And you just admire the guy. He's probably one of the nicest, most genuine, most sincere guys I think I've ever met. All of his crew, really. All of his crew are that way. It's like going out there and being with your brothers out there in the woods. It's nice to get away from the Bigfoot drama and all the other stuff that goes on, and just kind of be out there with those guys. And I feel like you're with family. I mean, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You really feel like you're with family out there. Bob's an interesting guy. One thing I learned really quick, a lot of people, there's a lot of researchers out there, but the one thing that I'll say about Bob, his son Travis, Brandon, I mean, Mo, Sean, all of those guys, they are hardcore trackers. These guys can track not only Sasquatch, they can track, you know, Bob was showing me how he tracks pigs, and he was showing me stuff that made sense, but we didn't really see any tracks yet. And he was explaining to me a pig had come through here probably about a day and a half ago, and kind of was just going through explaining to me how he knew that and kind of where it came through, probably where it stopped. And then we walk over to another area and there's like pig track sitting there. And I'm like, man, this guy's good. I mean, this guy could track a flea through a snowstorm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He was unreal. It was incredible just to, you know, hear his views on things and just, you know, you kind of get a sense of you try to understand and see what he sees, and he's just, and he's bad to the bone. He's incredible out there.
Yeah. And he's a real deal. When we were out there, for everyone listening, and I'll bring you on here in a second, Dave, that first night we go out with Bob, we go to this pond area, and when we're there, Bob says, hey, you know, I'm not going to promise you guys anything. You'll probably hear sounds. And he's showing us his maps and showing us kind of how he does things. And I've just never seen anyone do what he does. I mean, I learned so much in the short amount of time I was with him. I've just never seen anyone do what he does. But we go out to this area they call the pond. I don't think that's what it's called, but it had a pond and it was in the forest. And we're out there, and probably within, what would you say, half hour, 45 minutes after the sun goes down, you start hearing these things go off in this area. And, you know, we had night vision and we had some thermals, and it's so hard, even with the equipment, to see into some of the brush. But one of the things that happened that night is Shannon and I were heading up. Shannon, Mimi, and myself were up with Brandon, Bob's son, and we'd walked probably, what, Shannon, 200 yards from camp?
Yeah.
Maybe 100. And you could hear. Excuse me, everyone, I had to cough. You can hear this thing just going off. And what it sounded like is it was getting closer and closer and closer to us. And it was going, I mean, just sounded pissed. And it sounded like it had traveled, if I were to guess, just going off the sound, it sounded like it had traveled a mile or two in a matter of seconds. I mean, it was coming closer and closer and closer. And I stopped me and Shannon, and I'm like, hey, you know, we should probably head back to camp, because it sounds like it's coming our way. But I mean, when you're out there, well, I'll give you an example. I pulled one sound off, and I'll be playing more throughout the week. But here's an example of just sitting out here. Here's what you'll hear. And that's just kind of part of it. I haven't had a chance to really edit it or anything, but you know, like we heard that owl. Remember that owl we heard, Shannon? And then it sounded like it went into a monkey.
Yep.
What did you think?
Yeah, there was a real owl, and that was after we, the four of us, myself, you, Mimi, and Brandon, had walked up the trail, and we just kind of, it was awesome, guys. I wish you could all have been there. We went and walked up this trail, and we just plopped down, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, and we actually got a tree knock after a few minutes, and it was nice and crisp and loud. It still seemed to kind of, it was a little bit far off, but it was pretty crisp. Really hoping we have some of that audio and it caught it. But, you know, we would hear things from the distance. And then, when we were heading back, we heard an owl go off. And we're like, okay, well, that's an owl. Well, whatever decided to go off after that, it sounded more like you were in a primate house. And it just sounded like a monkey trying to be an owl. And then it sounded more like an owl after that. You know, it was incredible. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was strange. I thought when I heard it when I heard the other thing go off, I looked over at Brandon and I go, man, that must be one big owl, because I mean, it was deep, and then it broke in. It went straight from doing an owl to, it sounded like you said, a primate zoo. Yeah. It sounded like a monkey going off. And that night was actually, I mean, there was probably for about 3 or 4 hours, constant vocals going off around us. There was a log thrown at us in the middle of the night, here's what happened. We're sitting around the fire and my girlfriend gets up to go pee. And the spot where she actually went pee is where this thing had thrown a log. That wasn't the log. And I'll get to the other log here in a second, but we were all sitting around, we're all accounted for, we're all sitting around the campfire, and we're just talking, and you heard this just crash, sound like something just threw this huge log at us. I want to pull Dave on. I want Dave to talk about one of his encounter. He actually saw something, and that was kind of a unique night in itself. That was kind of a... Dave, what did you think, Dave? You showed up Wednesday night, was your first night there.
Right.
What was your impression of everything that was going on?
Well, first of all, I just, again, want to thank everybody for showing us around. And it was absolutely amazing. It was one of those things when I got there, like Shannon had mentioned, that it was just a lot different than as far as Texas goes, and people think in their minds what it's like topography wise and flora and fauna and all those things. It was a lot different than you think. It's definitely a world where these things could exist. When I got there, one of the things that had surprised me was these guys had done their homework. They knew their areas inside and out, topography, weather patterns, where these things move and that sort of thing. But I did not expect so much action so quickly. I mean, I think I had gotten there, Shannon, it was about, what, maybe 2 hours, and it got dark, and then we started hearing stuff. And these were calls that I've been in the woods my whole life, you know, hunting and hiking, fishing and stuff, and I've never heard anything like what we were experiencing.
Oh, that's right. I was just thinking.
Immediately, I mean, literally, I'm thinking I'm in Jurassic Park for Sasquatch. I know I made that joke, but I mean, this is when, and Wes, if you don't mind me getting into it, the howl, scream, growl things that we heard that were coming in from a distance. I mean, they were hundreds of yards away, and then there was another one that was closer, and another one that was closer. And I think, well, there were like, I think, Shannon, four of these.
Let me explain.
Sorry,
this to the audience.
Yeah.
No, you're good. I just want to explain to the audience. We're sitting around. God, there's so many things that happened between the Black Hawk flying around and everything else. But we're sitting around the campfire. We were going to go out after dark with our gear on. And so we're just kind of all sitting there. And I'm telling you, the vocals that we heard that night was not, I don't think, was Sasquatch. It sounded like, and I was going to talk more to Will about this, but in the print that we found, it makes me think it was something else out there. But what we heard, the vocals that we heard that night sounded like a freaking werewolf. I mean, don't you guys think it really wasn't?
Yeah, like something from a movie. It sounded just like that. It was very strange. And it, as Dave mentioned, there was one, and then, you know, you're waiting, and then the next one is so much closer, and you're like, this cannot be happening, because that just went off like 20 seconds ago. And you're thinking, how much closer did this get? It got so much louder.
You know, and that's a great point. And one of the things I would say, and I'm thinking about this myself, and I'm thinking people are going to completely throw rocks at us. But again, I don't know a coyote or a wolf or anything that would make those sounds and come closer to you and challenge you. It doesn't happen. They make them and they go. They run away. You might hear it once and then they're gone. But this was definitely, it was methodical, and it was coming closer, and it was paced, and it was amazing. The experience was amazing.
Yeah, it wasn't right next to our camp, so the audience understands. We're kind of in the middle of nowhere, and right next to the camp, we hear these vocals going off. And I think it was Tim Sermons that actually found the print that we had cast. And it was a beautiful print. The only problem with the print is it was nonstop torrential rain. And so even after like 3 or 4 days, it was still like putty on the ground. But we had gotten this print probably, what, maybe 100 yards from camp or less. And it was a print, and you could tell the travel corridor that they were going. But I'm telling you, that night, those vocals we heard, that, I mean, it makes me think that was something else, because it sounded, I've just never heard anything like that before. And then the following day we went, and I didn't mean to cut you off, Dave. I'll come back to you.
That's okay. No worries.
The following day, we went to the backside of that camping area. Well, I guess you'd call it a camping area. But we went to the backside of it, and we found a print. But I've never seen a print like this before. It was like five toes, and then on the heel, it went down to like a V. It wasn't your normal, and it was huge. It was like, you know, it was probably 16 inches. It was bigger than my boot. But, and we were going to cast it, but the rain was so bad. But it was a beautiful, beautiful track. But it looked like a V, like the heel went down to a V. And the area we decided to set up that night, that was actually Thursday night. We decided to set up that night in that area. And Bob had come back out, and I'll have Dave talk about his sighting here in a second. But what had happened, this is Thursday night now, we're there. Everyone else goes for a walk with Mo. And Bob's staying right there at the other side of the camp, kind of by the vehicle. And I said, well, I'll stay with you, Bob. I'll hang out with you. I mean, everyone else can go and, you know, live the adventure. I'll sit here with you, thinking nothing was going to happen. We'll just chill out here. And so, and then Dave came back. So it was me, Dave, and Bob were sitting right in front of the car, and we're just all talking. And I don't remember, Dave, did you have your night vision on you?
Yeah, I did. That was when you asked me to hang out and watch you guys' back as you went in.
That's
the time you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah. So we're sitting there right in front of the truck, and we're just talking. And I can see everyone's lights off to my left, and directly in front of us, there's kind of this real thick, just a thicket of forest. So we're sitting right there, and we're all talking. And pretty soon we hear this thing crash through the brush. I didn't have any of my equipment on me. Everyone else, I just let everyone kind of take the equipment, let them use it. And I figured me and Bob would just sit there and talk. And we hear this thing crash through the brush. And then we hear this thing start crashing, just crash, 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 crash. And you can hear it walking, and you can hear it breaking branches as it's going. And I remember, like a moron, I looked over at Bob and I said, which one of our group's over there without a light on? Like, what? And I was kind of frustrated. I was like, man, they're making so much noise over there. And Bob goes, yeah, that's not one of our group. That's not someone in our group. He goes, they're over there. And I could see everyone's flashlights off in that direction. This thing moved so fast, it probably covered 100, 150 yards, like nothing. I mean, it was just, it moved so quick, and then it stopped. And then you could hear the thing go across the road on the, now on our right side, flanking us, crash, 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 crash. Just, you hear this thing just walking like it's just crashing along. And then it starts moving behind us. And all of this, what would you say, Dave? All of this happened within what, 20, 30 seconds?
Yeah, roughly. I mean, no more than maybe 40 seconds, 30, 40 seconds at the most, at the very most.
Yeah, and it's crazy. When you go back to that area, it's so hard to walk through there and just walk through there at a normal pace. This thing was almost like, it would be like me trying to sprint through there in the pitch black, but it moves and behind us. Yeah.
No, I was saying, and it didn't care, like to your point. Yeah. It was just making noise and just pushing through like, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah, it was totally like it didn't care. It was making noise. It moves behind us, and I'm trying to figure out, is there one or two? Is that one still across the road, or is this the same one? Because it's moving so fast. So so Bob takes off and starts walking in there to go take a look with his light. I tell Dave, hey, Dave, stay here. Just watch our back. I'm going to go follow Bob, make sure he's okay. So I follow Bob in there, and you could hear this thing pacing us as we're walking in. And it's only like 30, 40 feet inside the tree line, but it's so thick through there. I could stand at, 30, 40 feet and you'd never see me. And we're scanning with our flashlights, and Bob pulls his gun out, puts one in the chamber. I put one in the chamber, and we're just walking along, and we start walking away from the sound. And, Bob's not really saying a whole lot right now. He's not, when he walks, you can't hear this guy walk at all. I mean, he could totally sneak up on anyone in the forest. He's so quiet. So we start walking away from the sound, and I asked Bob, I said, Bob, why are we walking away from the sound? I said, the sound's back here. Let's go back here. And as I'm finishing my sentence, I hear this boom, 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 boom through the air. Sounds like a helicopter, like end over end, huge, huge. And I knew what it was. It was a log coming, and it was a big log. And you could hear it being thrown from end to end, spinning like a helicopter coming right at us. And I ducked down because I thought for sure it was going to hit one of us in the head. But it hit a tree right in front of us. And I just can't believe this is happening. I just can't believe what I've heard. I can't believe. I'm just like, I know what just threw that log at us. I know what just paced us in. And now my concern is, okay, I don't have night vision. I have a flashlight and I can't see where it's at. So Bob looks over at me and goes, hey, so where was that Dogman track you guys were talking about?
Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah,
just, I mean, this guy's seen some stuff. And I looked over at him, like, I'm just, my mouth is open. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, where was that track? Was it pretty close to this area? And I start laughing. I said, Bob, we just had a log thrown at our head. One of us could have just, you want to know where the track, okay, let me back up. You want to know where the track is at? And he's like, oh yeah, that was just a warning. He's like, you have one in the chamber, right? And I go, yeah, I have one in the chamber. He goes, yeah, just kind of keep it out just in case. He goes, but so that track, is it back here or is it? And I'm just like, unbelievable, man. This guy is Cool Hand Luke out there. I mean, and I'll be honest with the audience, my heart was just pounding in my throat. I mean, I was just like, we should probably back out of here. So we turn around, we start walking out, and you could hear this thing just crash, 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 following us all the way out. And, I have my gun up with my light on it. And I'm just, just in case it decides it wants to do more than just pace us out. And we walk back to the truck, and I just couldn't, I mean, I don't even know what to say. But talk about, what did you guys think that Thursday night, Shannon, when you were out with Mo and Dave, what was your guys' impression of that Thursday night we were out there?
Oh, when you got the log tossed at your head, I was bummed that I wasn't there to join in the fun, actually. I was really upset about that. I was upset I wasn't there. That's yeah. All I was thinking when I got back to the car. I was like, wait, what? What? Because, Dave was there. And I knew that because, Bob had said, you know, I don't really know that anybody should go back there, you know, where you guys ended up being with the log toss. He had mentioned that. He's like, I'm not really sure anybody should really go back there. So we were planning on not doing it. And then when I got back to the car with the whole group, we're like, where's Bob and Wes? And Dave's like, well, they went in there. And we're like, oh my gosh, something happened. So, you know, we kind of knew something big had happened and was going on, you know, at that time, but had to wait until you guys got back to get the scoop.
Yeah, what was amazing to me about that, the whole thing is, I was talking to Bob prior to any of that happening, and he just mentioned he's very cool, like you said, Wes, very, very cool. And he's like, you know, they're probably going to come out over that direction. They're going to move over here. They're going to cross the road. They usually flank over this area, get in the brush right here, and then move on. And he was just so matter of fact about it. And I think, Wes, it was maybe 10 minutes after that, 15 minutes maybe, that is when we heard all the crashing straight across the road. And then he called it, and the thing started moving. And what was amazing to me as I'm listening to this is that the footsteps were bipedal. You know, I've been in the woods. I know what a deer sounds like crashing through the woods, you know, a bear. This thing was just, it was walking. It was walking and pushing stuff. But that in and of itself was amazing because you know what's there. But the fact that Bob called it and he called exactly the way it was going to happen, I don't know what to say about that. That was great, I mean, in my mind.
Yeah, that was an amazing night. It definitely... I know Tom in our chat room, he's asking if we went out to the torn up camp area. Yeah, that was the first day that we went out to the torn up camp area. And the torn up camp is, it looked different from what you see in the video. It's a different, totally different, at least in my mind, totally different area. And there's a lot of, especially through there, I think that's some sort of travel corridor because it looked like some pretty big, huge animals traveling through there. You could just see it in the brush. You could see, I guess to answer your question, yeah, we went to the torn up camp area. And it was kind of a creepy place. It was kind of a, kind of a somber place, you know, for everyone there. But it was just kind of it was a creepy place. I don't know that I would go out there. I mean, thinking back now, I don't know if I'd want to stay out there at night. I know we had talked about it, but I don't know if that would be... The other problem, too, is everything in Texas can kill you. You know, if the Sasquatch don't kill you, snakes are going to kill you. If the snakes don't get you, the spiders are going to get you. If the spiders don't get you, the hogs are going to get you. It's like everything in the, you know, across the board that could kill you is out in Texas. You know, even the rabbits are monsters out there. But the night that we were out, we decided to leave. And to answer everyone's questions again in the chat room, yes, there's an area you can tell where they travel from one side of that road to the other. It's on the back side, and it's interesting because it's a little bit farther back than what I had thought. But when Mo had taken us all out there to walk around, you could see where they're traveling on the backside and all the way around where they'd come around. There was damage out there, but we decided to take off. We decided to leave shortly after that incident. I know Bob was, Mo and the rest of us, we went back down to where we had the log thrown at us, you know, after about 20 minutes or so. And Bob was saying, hey, I don't think it's a great idea to go down there. It was kind of a warning that it was given us. It's probably best just to leave it alone and we can come back tomorrow, or we can go back to the other side. And he was really, really cautious with a lot of things out there, which didn't surprise me. But we decided to walk down the trail a little bit. And off in the distance, you could hear that monkey chatter. You could hear howls. You could hear whoops. You could hear monkey chatter. And the weird thing is that it would travel. You could tell the thing was traveling like a mile or two, and it would stop and do it, and it'd come in closer, and then it would back off, and it would come in closer and back off. But that monkey chatter really, it's terrifying to hear that monkey chatter when you hear it, because it sounds like people talking, but you can't make out what they're saying. And that's what we were hearing off in the distance. But we had actually decided to leave right after that. Mo was like, well, let's just take Bob's advice. Let's just, you know, we'll go back to this other area and maybe just not push our luck right here. So we decided to leave. On our way out, there's a log across the road, placed across the road, right where this thing had crossed. And it was up a ways and on our way out, and it was intentionally placed there. And I got pictures of all of that. I'm going to be posting that up on the website. But that's not my first time having something like that happen, where you just come down the road, and it's not like it fell from somewhere. It's not like it was dead fell and it was just coincidental. It was placed out there. It's almost looked like it had been thrown out there, and then you saw it break in half or break in two pieces as it was thrown out in the road. But it had, it was almost like it was, didn't you get the feeling like that was its way of saying F you guys? It just bothered me a little bit.
That log looked like, I mean, it literally, a huge branch, it looked like it was just picked up and it was broken into multiple pieces, like something just slammed it down. And I was trying to debunk that. And it's like, you know, a tree where it looked like it came from, the way it fell, it would have had to have fallen so far out and down across that road. It was put there. It was deliberate. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but it was put down with force. And that's something that'll stick with me too. But yeah, I remember that moment as well.
Yeah, it was just odd placement and timing considering what had happened, you know, just within the last, you know, hour. It was just odd for a deadfall to come down, you know, just then in that spot. So very interesting. And that, you know, that monkey chatter was, for me, and I want to go ahead and people are messaging me in the, you know, private chats and stuff. Did you see one, Shannon? No, Shannon didn't get to see one, but I did get to hear a lot of amazing things. That monkey chatter, besides the screaming, the second night was one of the most incredible things I've ever heard. And it was off in the distance a little bit, but it is just like it's described.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's... people want to know if you saw one. It's you know, and again, tonight we're just doing kind of a quick overview of the trip, but throughout the week I'll be doing shows on it. We'll all be doing shows on it, but I'll be posting the audio. I just played a very small clip tonight. Sorry guys, still fighting this cough, trying not to cough in the mic here. I need a better mute. But I apologize to everyone. Yeah, so that was Thursday night. We decided to leave, and I know Bob was tired the Friday night when we were out there, which I don't blame him because I was completely exhausted by Friday when we were out there. But Friday is when Dave had his encounter. Dave, can I tell the wood story or not? Or my version of the wood story?
Oh, wow. Well, it depends. Geez. I know it was going to come out. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. You can correct it if you want. It's your first time out. First time out there, first time hearing stuff, so I don't blame you for being freaked out. But we go back out Friday. And again, Mo, which is one of Bob's guys, the guy's prepared for everything. If you want to be stuck out in the woods, you want to be with this guy. He's got anything that you need, or, I mean, anything possibly that you could need, he will either, he will do like research and development there on site and design it like MacGyver, yep. He did with like the ovens or little stoves he had set up. But I mean, the guy's a gourmet cook. He cooked some of the best chicken and steak I think I've ever had while we were out there. Mo's great. He's like having a brother around, you know. But we go out Friday, and Mo had to take off. So it was me, Shannon, Mimi, Dave, and Alex. We were out there. And we go back to the backside of the where we were at on the camp spot the night before, and we had all that activity. So we're sitting there, and you could hear, almost from all directions, you could hear different things going off. You could hear either whoops, you could hear howls, you could hear monkey chatter, you could hear all sorts of things. And one of the things, and again, I'm not big on wood knocking, but one of the things I noticed when we're out there, the previous two nights. And I know Bob's not a guy out there knocking on wood or anything like that, but I personally noticed when we were out there that last night, I would hear one or two big whaps, hits against trees, and then you'd hear everything in the forest just go off. You hear these things off in the distance. Sounds like one group going off over here, 3 to 5 miles away. You could almost hear something else going off here behind us. You could hear stuff going off, and it was nonstop that night. I mean, we were constantly getting vocals that night. And so I had noticed two nights before up the trail, there is some 4x4s in a stack sitting out there. And so I'm like, hey, let's take that 4x4 and just one time, just real quick, whack, like I've been hearing, and see if we hear something. Because it started dying down. Everything was starting to get real quiet by then. And so I go, I'm sitting there with Mimi, and Mimi's terrified. You know, she's like, I've never heard anything like this in the forest. You know, this is day five now. She's like, I've never heard anything like this. Every night there's just something going off. And you can tell it's, she's like, I don't know what it is. She's like, you know, cause she's kind of new to this. She's like, I've just never, this is like you said, Dave, this is like Jurassic Park out here. She's just freaking out. So I'm trying to stay with her. And I think Shannon was scanning with the night vision. And so I go to Dave and Alex and I said, hey, go back 100 yards behind us. And we're all unarmed right now, which was not smart. But at the moment, none of us were armed. So we were trying to all stay in a group. And it was a bad idea being out there unarmed, but we were unarmed at the moment. But I said, hey, you guys go back about 150 yards back. And I said, just drop it one time, drop it two times. Just let it echo through, see if we can set it off the way I've been hearing it since we've been there. And so long story short, they don't want to go back there. They don't want to go back. They don't want to go back there. So I'm like, okay, you guys just wait here. I'll run back. I'll take care of it. I'll be right back. And I'll have the walkie-talkie. I got my flashlight in case something comes out. You know, maybe Mr. Tough Guy with my flashlight. Like, I'm as good as dead. But I was like, okay, well, I'll run back here and I'll do it real quick. And you guys stay here with the girls and I'll be back. So I start walking down the trail and I'm like 50 yards and I go to stop and Dave and Alex both like bump me. I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, we're coming with you. You know, both of them are like on the edge of humping my leg. And I'm like, what, you guys, I'm not armed.
Wait a minute.
I was like, guys, I'm not armed. If something comes out, I'm just as screwed as you guys are. And so I walk up a little bit more and I'm wearing Dave on one shoulder and I'm wearing Alex on the other shoulder as I'm walking in. And we walk in and I don't remember. I think we were grabbing the wood that time. And, but we did like drop the 4x4 on the other 4x4 real quick. And we heard something step out from behind a tree, but it sounded like it shook the tree. It sounded like it was just shaking this tree. And I shine my flashlight up and I'm telling Dave and Alex, I'm like, back up, back up, back up, back up. That's way too close. Back up, back up. And this was a big tree and it sounded like it was on the other side of the tree shaking it. And I could hear the 2 foots as it hit the mud, like plop down. And I'm just scanning with my flashlight, but I'm like, back up, back up, back up. So we all start backing up and trying to scan with the thermal in there is a complete nightmare because all the underbrush, it's so hard to see past the underbrush. But we ended up backing out of there. And I think it was right after that is when you had your sighting, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it was... It was afterwards we got all back down to the car, but prior to that, I think wasn't that when you dropped the 2x4s and did the knocks? That happened, but the area around us immediately lit up with sound. Do you remember that?
Like, oh, that's right.
It was crazy.
I forgot. You're
it sounded
right.
Like coyotes at first, but then it was those moaning howls that we heard, and I remember all of us kind of picked up the pace walking back down the trail because it was almost like we opened this Pandora's box of sound, and it was probably the most volume of sound we had heard that trip. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, and it, you know, they reminded me of the Ohio House. There was just they were long, and at the end it was like angry, like that. You know, it was it reminded me of the Ohio House. That's the only thing I can say about those.
Yeah, that's a great call. But I so we had gotten back down to the car, and it's funny that you had mentioned that Mimi was telling me pretty much to shut up because I was being too loud. But what happened was is we were sitting in the car, and just so folks listening out there know, we had faced the car out toward the road, you know, just in case you got to get out of there or whatever. And I just happened to get in the back seat, open the back door of the passenger side on the right side. And I decided, you know, I'm just going to scan the area, but I'm going to scan the brush where Bob showed us where these things moved up the night before and where we heard the activity. And then, you know, there was the log throwing at Wes and Bob up the trail behind us. So I said, you know, I'm going to go and do the scanning. And I've been scanning for about 10 minutes. And I got to tell you, it's something that you just, even though you think you're going to be ready for when you see it, you're not ready for. I remember scanning left, and I don't know if anybody's ever used night vision before, starlight vision, but you know, it's kind of just that circle shape that you're looking in. Your peripheral view is a little bit skewed, but I'm scanning left, and everything's green. You know, the road shows up as light green and that sort of thing. And the reason I say that is, when I'm scanning left, something comes in from the frame opposite way as I'm scanning that makes me stop, and it's big. It is walking across the road, and it's not walking across the road like it's in a huge hurry and it's afraid, and it's not walking across the road like it's taking all day. It's just doing its thing. The sighting was about less than 5 seconds. It went off to the brush the exact same way that we had heard the night before. But this was to me what I would call a classic sighting. I mean, it was fleeting. It was, and I was left with that feeling of, you don't know what you don't even know at that moment, because you're seeing something walking on two legs. You know, there's nobody there from your group, and there's certainly nobody else there, period. And it's coming across the same area that the crossings had happened the night before. And in your mind, you're thinking, like, are you kidding me? And again, it was so fleeting, but I think I saw one. I got to tell you, I think I saw one moving across the road in the area that Bob told us that they typically move. And I just happened to catch it at just the right time. If I had been a few seconds of my sweep later, I never would have saw it. A few seconds of my sweep earlier, I never would have saw it. And, you know, I told you guys off air, I'm still kind of coming to grips with this. I think I said to Shannon, this experience is a little bit humbling. You think you know what you think you know about Sasquatch and about, yeah, this thing exists and all of that. But until you catch a glimpse of, and I know it was on two legs, and I will say that this was a Squatch, until you catch a glimpse of it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But now, anybody who I've ever doubted, who said that, you know, people think are going to think I'm stupid if I talk about it, and I say, oh, I'll tell everyone about it. No, it took me a while, and I don't think I really was very vocal about it right away. It was just, and I'm still having trouble putting it in words other than to say I can still see that green screen on that starlight vision, and I can see a dark figure walking. And the thing I noticed right away was the footsteps and the space between the legs. And there were definitely two legs and a body above it. I didn't notice arm swing. I just, for some reason, was so clued in on those legs, because I just remember thinking, those are 2 feet. Those are two legs. Those are 2 feet. And then it's gone. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And Dave, I was wondering, and I haven't asked you this yet, and I know it's still early for you, you know, considering you're still processing it, but you know, you do a lot of camping and hiking and hunting, and is this going to change any habits for you, or, you know, with your kids or anything like that? I don't even know if you process it that far yet. I'm just wondering.
You must have been in on the conversation I had with my friend Dave here today, because he asked me the same question, and I'm really having second thoughts about going out on solo overnight hiking trips anymore, to be honest with you, which is something I've done my whole life. But I've had those thoughts, and I was thinking about that on the plane on the way home, is, geez, you know, you saw what you saw. Geez, those things are definitely out there. You know, you've never been bothered by them before, but when you see them, or you see what you think you saw, it kind of changes your perspective. So the answer, Shannon, is probably those, you know, overnight, even winter trips and stuff that I do solo. I can't say that I'm probably going to do those again. If I'm being completely honest at the moment, how I feel.
Right.
Yeah, so. It gets real, really quick out there. I mean, I can honestly say every single night we were out there, there was definite activity. I mean, pretty major activity, really. And a lot of vocals, a lot of different vocals, a lot of, you know, stuff you guys had mentioned the Ohio Howl. And yes. I think at the time we were sitting in the car, that's why I was thinking, well, Dave's new out here. He's excited. But I didn't pick up on it. My girlfriend's the one that actually picked up on it. We were all sitting in the car and we were just listening and just being quiet. I think I was trying to adjust my night vision, and we start hearing what sounds like the Ohio Howl going off to our left. And you hear this thing just going off, and everyone's like, shh, be quiet, be quiet. And I had noticed Dave had his night vision up, but he wasn't looking in the direction that the howls were going off. And Dave was going, oh, 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 oh. And I was like, Dave, just, you know, I was thinking, man, just be quiet for a second so we can hear this. But I didn't pick up on what he was doing. He was looking the opposite direction. And it's almost like you were kind of freaking out looking through the night vision. And it's funny because, you know, we talk to a lot of people who are so afraid of the ridicule, so afraid of the attack, so afraid of after they see these things, that it's kind of in our psyche. I know even after that night, Dave, you almost didn't really want to talk about it. It was kind of like trying to pull it out of you. And what did you see? What are you freaking out about? What did you, you know, what? So I totally get that.
Yeah. It was just, it was one of those things. And I don't, you know, I've gotten home and I told my two girls, you know, they love that stuff. I told my friend, but it's like, not certain I'm really going to share it with anybody else. Although I guess I just did.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know what I mean? It's one of those things where you just, you know, you have this experience. I think also too, I think it was heightened by everything else. You know, this is almost for me kind of a climax to everything, because to Shannon's point about the Ohio Howls, just about every night in camp, you could hear those things going off in the distance all around you. And it wasn't just one area. There were sounds going off that you didn't. And you know, Mo had shown us, I was on doing a little walkabout with him, and he showed some tracks that were definitely huge, 16, 18 inch impressions, but they were going in trackways. You know, it wasn't just one off little here and there. And so many things going on that at that moment, it was almost like this, I wanted to tell you guys, I like wanted to say something, but all that could come out was that, oh my God, oh, you know what I mean? That's all that I could really kind of muster at the moment, so.
And guys, how funny was it that, and this was before your sighting, Dave, but Bob goes, you know, with this weather, it screwed everything up. They haven't had rain like that in years, and we had a whole week of it. And Bob goes, I'm so sorry, you know, that not much happened. And we're all just looking at each other like, are you kidding? This has been incredible.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's, that's a guy that has actually seen, I think if we took our audience out there and just had them sit with us and just experience it, or even took someone who didn't believe that these things existed and just said, hey, just come out here and just hang out for a few days and then tell me what you think, I think they would freak out. I think they would really freak out, because I mean, you know, I've seen them, and there was moments to where when that log was coming, I was like, it's time to go, it's time to leave. You know, and you know, Bob's like the Clint Eastwood of Bigfoot. He just kind of looks over at me and goes, "So was that track over here that you guys found earlier?" Yeah. It was like a dog. He was really interested in the Dogman track. He's like, "So was that over here?" And I was just like, unbelievable, man. This guy, you know, this guy's seen some stuff. If he's not freaking out, I mean, he was cool hand Luke the whole time we were out there. But going back to why I think that they get so much out there is this guy can track. I mean, I think he could track a flea through a snowstorm. I really do. He's that good, you know. And Travis is one of Bob's sons you never hear from. Same way, man. The guy can track. Brandon, I mean, even Brandon was awesome out there. Mo, all those guys can really track out there. One of the areas we didn't get to go to that I really wanted to see, and I was actually going to go in there and talk to some of the guys. There's a road. So if you can imagine, people, that all of the roads out there had been flooded from all the rain. There's nowhere for the rain to go. So when it rains like it did, it just kind of, it's all standing water. But one of the roads was actually washed out, and the Hells Angels own a biker bar down one of these roads, not far from where we had camped, but they own this biker bar out there. And talking to Bob and some of the guys out there, they were saying that the Hells Angels, after dark, it's weird because that bar is empty. There's, as far as motorcycles go, the bar is empty. And he was telling me that he had talked to some of the guys up there and talked to the owner, and they refused to ride down that road at night. They've had guys pulled off their bikes. They've had guys knocked off their bikes as they're going down the road, 60, 70 miles an hour, being knocked off and being really injured. But these guys will refuse to go down this road after dark on a motorcycle. They absolutely will not go down this road after dark. And Bob was saying, telling me, you know, that's a really hot area over there. And so that was one of the things I wanted to see. I want to talk to some of those guys and get some of those experiences, but everything was just so washed out. It was tough, but it was an epic time.
Yeah. Hey, Wes.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys notice this too? I think we had talked about this, but one of the things we all came to the conclusion, it was a couple of days into it. We did see a couple. I know Alex had a sighting, a couple of small animals, but did it seem like for the most part that you didn't see, and Mo actually pointed this out, in these areas, you didn't see a lot of small creatures. You did not see like the raccoons, well, you don't really see stuff. And Mo's like, have you noticed there's none of this here? There's not squirrels, there's not anything. And he's like, there's only really room for the big stuff now. It's either the Sasquatch and some of these big, hogs that they go after, some of these feral hogs. And it dawned on me, I'm like, yeah, he's right. Did you guys notice that as well?
Yeah, I did. It's as far as, you know, some of your normal forest animals, you didn't really see a whole lot out there. We saw deer every once in a while. I kind of think they eat the pigs out there is what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of pig tracks.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes. It was interesting. You know, even as we were going along, Mo and Bob and them would point out, you know, okay, here's pig root. They were rooting here and they were laying here. And they, yeah, like, as you said, they're incredible trackers. I was just soaking it all in. But it was Alex, I think, that last night, you know, was a little creeped out by what was going on. But he was like, this place just, it isn't right. You know, and to quote him, I think he said, this is kind of an effed up place. It's just not right. Something's not right about it. There's no, you know, chirping of the birds, and there's not even any birds flying around there except for those huge vultures that we saw. But very strange place. And I still wish we were there, to be honest with you.
Interesting that you have the Sasquatch activity out there, and then you've got, you know, what's plentiful out there is vultures. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's strange too. And again, we'll have all of the audio, we'll have all of the video, we'll be posting all of that to the website. But it was a crazy place. It really was. And it's strange too, because the only thing that really bothers me from the trip, besides the log being thrown at my head, was some of the vocals that we heard and the footprint that, and you know what I'm talking about, Shannon, you were there when I saw it. I don't know what, I mean, I don't know. And maybe it's because we don't have a lot of quote unquote dogman encounters out in Washington State. Actually, I don't think we really have any reports of them out here, but I really hope we got that on audio, because that I had never heard anything like that before ever in my life. And if someone were to ask me what it sounded like, I would say it sounded like a werewolf. Mm-hmm. Just, sounded like an 800-pound werewolf coming for you. And the print was just so odd. God, that print was just, and I'll tell you the other thing too, off, I don't know if you heard it, Dave, Mo, one of Bob's guys, Mo.
Yeah.
He does this angry Sasquatch call.
Oh, and again, dude,
I'm not big on calls, but this guy's good. This guy's really good. The first time he did it, I wasn't prepared for it. And I was looking for my gun because it was so dead on to, it sounded like a pissed off Sasquatch going off. But he did a growl. Mm-hmm. The growl he did, I even told him, that's exactly the growl I heard, man. You're not quite as loud, and you don't have the lungs that it did, but that's really close. And, you know, he was saying, well, that's the same growl I heard. That's why I was able to copy it. But God, some of the angry calls that this guy can do, I think would piss these things off.
I mean, if I had that kind of talent, I might go to unsuspecting campers and have some fun. But this guy was dead on. I mean, it would send chills through your bones if you didn't know what it was you're listening to.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. If any of the, you know, neighboring areas had anybody near us, they would have gone, okay, I think it's time to go. He was, right. That was a great call.
I know Ramble One in our chat room is asking if Sasquatch and Dogman, they don't share the same area, do they? Here's just my impression. Again, I'm not an expert, but here's my impression. I think they are crossing paths in that area. The day one track that we found was definitely a Sasquatch type track. It was your typical Sasquatch type track. And then we even saw some of the damage to the branches of where it was coming in and out. You could tell the it was over on the other side of this berm where it could sit and watch the camp. And that's where we'd found the tracks. It looked like your typical Sasquatch track. This other thing, I don't know. It was in a different area where we found it. It looked like it was just passing through. And we took video of it. I'm going to try and dig it up and put it on the website. But I just hadn't, for me personally, I've never seen anything like that before. And when I looked at it, I thought, that's not a Sasquatch track. That's something else. And it was a better track than the one that we had tried to cast.
Yeah. It was actually a little jarring to see that. I wasn't expecting that, because I've always gone, Dogman, I don't know. I mean, I think the name itself just makes people giggle a little bit anyway. Yeah. But that it was, and it's not like we were just off some trail and somebody was messing around and created this or something. It was, we were, you know, way off trail, just poking around by a creek somewhere. And there it was. Mo found it.
Yeah. No, I'm the one that originally found it. And then I had Mo check it out. Yeah, I almost stepped on it. I almost destroyed it. Me and my big clumsy boots, I almost stepped right on it. But, and I looked down at it and I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know what this is. Mo, you come take a look. And he came over and he looked at it. Yeah, it's funny. He looked at it and goes, oh no. And I go, and I almost knew what he was going to say. And I was like, don't say it. Don't say it.
Not the D word. Yeah. Yeah. that was, and it would, you know, Bigfoot tracks are, I've never seen one as good as the one that was behind camp. And, but the Dogman print or whatever the heck that was a little jarring.
Yeah. And we'll be posting that. I know we're just kind of doing a quick overview tonight, and throughout the week, we'll be posting, the whole trip. We have a lot of, to give people an idea, I have like 30 gigs of video to go through. I have countless audio to go through. I have just a ton of stuff to just kind of sit and go through. And that's the bummer side of when you go on these trips, because there's so much of that just kind of sitting and going through everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. We each have a lot of work ahead of us with that. Happily doing it, you know, just hoping that we caught some of, you know, what our ears caught. 'Cause it was highly impressive. And like I said, Bob said, "Oh, I'm really sorry. The rain really screwed everything up. It's usually much more active than this." And we're just like, "Oh, that was pretty active, Bob." You know, it was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, more active than this. Jesus, what's going on out here?
You know what surprised me, guys, about the whole thing? You know, you talked about getting the sounds and that sort of thing. And now that coming on, you know, this side of the mic, actually having been out in the field, you have a whole new perspective of what it actually means to go on a trip, an expedition, whatever you want to call it, and actually get footage, whether it's video or audio. Because I can tell you, if you're listening to this right now, having not been there, if I was in your shoes, I'd say the same thing. Did you get more? Why didn't you get more? Why this? Why that? Everything happens so fast. It's in real time, and you don't know what the next move is going to be. So it's catch as catch can. And really, the meat of everything comes from the audio recorders being left out and listened to. But man, this was way more difficult in getting things in real time than I ever thought it would be. Do you guys agree with that? Because I don't know, you've done this maybe a couple 100%. Times before, but yeah.
You have to have absolutely perfect conditions to even catch audio. Even if you think that it's loud to your ears, sometimes the audio just is not going to pick that up unless it's quite close. And everybody's very quiet. Or like you said, maybe the recorder is not on your person, but out in the woods somewhere, that's probably, you know, a better chance of getting something.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely have a new respect for people. It's tough to, it's really tough, especially out there, because I noticed during the day, well, I guess there was that one thing that happened, but I noticed during the day, it was pretty quiet. And I'll try and answer some of these questions in the chat room, but there was one time where we had separated. Alex and Dave were off to our right, kind of down trail a little bit. Mo, myself, and Mimi were on the other side of the trail, and we had decided to walk in to this area to check out to see if there's any prints or anything. And so we'd walked in this area, and Mo was kind of showing us, like, they travel back here, and long story short, he's basically explaining how they come in and out, how they cross the road over there. And you could see from that area, there was a huge, huge animal coming in and out right there. And we're sitting there, and before we went in, Mo's saying, "Hey, let's try and be quiet. Let's not, everyone keep their voices down. Let's just be real quiet in here. Let's go and try and go on as stealthy as we can." Pretty soon we just hear this crash. It sounded like a truck drove through the woods. And Mo looks over at me and he goes, "Oh man, I told them to be quiet. What are they doing?" And I go, "Well, I'll go talk to them." So I was like, "Well, I'll go talk to them." And this is the middle of the day. So I walk back, and Dave's eyes are like the size of saucers, and Alex is nowhere to be found. And I'm like, "Hey guys, can you guys kind of keep it down when we're out?" And Dave's like, "It wasn't us, man. It was right over here." And you could hear the thing just crashing. But other than that, I'll say during the day, it's pretty dead out there. It's pretty quiet out there.
Yeah.
Don't really hear any vocals. You don't. As soon as that sun goes down, it's like Jurassic Park breaks out there. I've never heard anything like it. I honestly have never heard so many vocals in my life in an area. And these weren't even a lot of the good areas. I know Bob, the places he wanted to take us were completely washed out, but I've never heard so many vocals in my life on a consistent basis. You know what I mean? Night after night after night after night.
Yep. It was, most of them were a goodly distance away from us. You know, unfortunately for us, the log was a little bit closer to your head than a lot of the vocals were. But the daytime was extremely quiet, and not even just, not to keep hammering on this, but it was a little strange. It was not only quiet for possible Sasquatch activity, but there's no birds flying around. There's no squirrels running around chattering at each other. So it was kind of like a light switch when the sun goes down. you're hearing howls and screams and the occasional knock here and there. So that was great. It was a great time.
So, one of the things I noticed, though, about everyone, you know, together as a group, you kind of observe these things. The interaction, people were doing their thing. But I noticed as the week went on and we started getting more action, for lack of a better term, and that was kind of cheesy, but people started sticking a little bit more closely together. Guys going off to relieve themselves into the woods at night wouldn't really leave the firelight. Like, I noticed there were some little things that you weren't embarrassed about anymore, and it was kind of funny because I just noticed people sticking a little bit closer together. Not as close as I got to you, Wes, when I kind of was, you know, up your back when you were going and knocked it. And I will admit,
right,
man, that was one of the only times in my life that I've ever been in the woods where I'm thinking, you know, I'm borderline scared here, you know, and it was kind of a humbling experience. But for those of you listening out there, he's not really exaggerating that much.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I know people want to know, they have eased up on Bob out there. He doesn't, you know, Bob hasn't been feeling great lately, and he hasn't been out a whole lot. But I know when we left it was weird. You'd see state troopers out there driving around. And I'm talking back country roads, not main highway roads. Some of these areas consistently, yeah, just all over the place. And, you know, it just weird places for state troopers to be. And then I had left to go get Dave. Mimi and myself had left to go get Dave, and I don't know if you were in camp when they were talking about the Black Hawk that was like landing. I should have had Alex on too.
Yeah, I was there, and we never caught sight of it, but it sounded like something massive, like something, you know, like if you have a four-bladed aircraft would sound like. It just sounded huge, and it was you could tell it was like circling just behind a ridge out of sight from where we were. And at one point, Alex and I both agreed we thought that it touched down somewhere. And it never shut down, but it stopped enough for us to think that it had touched down and landed. But then it fired right back up, and it was super loud, and it was circling again. And it did that for probably about 15, maybe 20 minutes tops, and then it was gone. And then I think at night at one point we were all there, and we had something go overhead, but you couldn't tell what it was, and it didn't slow down or circle or anything.
Yeah, it sounded like a military helicopter is what it sounded like, and it sounded like it was just scraping the trees as it was going by. It was flying that low, but it was just on the other side of us. You know, it's so thick out there, even if you step out and you kind of look up, it's kind of hard to see a distance out there. But it sounded close, and it sounded like it was scraping the trees out there. But yeah, I mean, and there's so many more things that we'll be going over throughout the week. We just kind of want to give you guys a quick rundown. I just want to thank Bob for having us out there. I learned so much being out there with him. I'm glad you both got to experience something when we were out there. I wish we would have had like a daytime, you know, clear encounter. It's almost more terrifying not to see him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So this week, especially, you know, the evening that the screens got closer very quickly, I was half expecting. I was like, here we go. Underwear changing moment coming. Here we go. You know, but.
Oh, that first night?
Uh-huh.
You're talking about the first night.
You know, if they're
Second night, really, because you know, we got those back to back. We got screens that moved in towards us, which was, like Dave mentioned, that's kind of strange. You know, something's coming towards you. That's not the usual thing an animal is interested in doing. So that was twice that happened. That was.
Keep in mind too that. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Go right ahead.
No, I was saying that. Keep in mind too that. You know, those things might have stepped out of the darkness had there not been 7, 8, 9 people at the time, you know, everyone, you know, that night just hanging out by the fire. So to your point, they didn't see it. You didn't see it, but maybe it's because of the numbers there. And a lot of the sightings in that area, you know, have been at night in those situations. Maybe we were fortunate in the fact that we did have enough numbers there that whatever or whoever, or how many of them were out there, decided that they, you know, didn't want to show themselves. So I don't know. But, I mean, that's the side of it too.
Yeah. But that's the quick overview tonight, everyone. We have audio, we have video, we have a lot of things that we are going to be playing throughout the week. A lot more things, but I wanted to kind of give you guys an overview, let everyone know we're alive, we're well. I had a great time. It was very exciting, and I can't wait to do it again. So look for that this week throughout on the website. I'll be posting the audio, some video, and we'll be doing probably do a couple shows over it throughout the week, I would imagine, on some of the things and kind of go more in depth on what we experienced out there. But other than that, Shannon, Dave, do you guys have anything else?
I just want to say thank you to Bob and his whole crew. I mean, obviously being in the field at all is great, but to have incredible people like that around you and showing you around and showing you their tricks, it was amazing. And thank you to those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Mo, Sean, Tim, Bob, all those guys. Yeah, thank you so much. But again, we flew in late last night, and I don't know about you guys, but I was pretty wiped out today. But we flew in late last night, and I'm going to start going through all that audio and video and everything else. So look for a few shows this week. We'll be talking about it. I'll go into a little bit more about some of the tracks and some of the sounds, and I wanted to play something for you guys tonight. That's why at the beginning of the show I wanted to get some audio so you guys kind of get an idea of sitting out there, the stuff you hear. And it's one last thing I wanted to say before we get out of here. You know, it's so funny because you get, when stuff, you almost have to be prepared like a crackhead all night long waiting for something to happen. Because it seems like, did you guys notice when everyone started just kind of relaxing, the sounds died off, everything kind of got quiet, everyone just kind of put everything down, started relaxing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, we get a log thrown towards the camp, or vocals will just start going off really close by and it throws you off. You're like, oh no, I got to grab my, equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. You're running around crazy. Just trying to,
you're on edge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're definitely on edge, but I think people will be interested to see some of the stuff that we captured. And again, until look for it this week. We'll be doing shows throughout the week, but we just wanted to do a quick show tonight for everyone, give you a quick overview of the trip, and a lot coming this week. So thank you guys for being here. Thanks to everyone in the chat room. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Check us out at SasquatchChronicles.com. Have a great night, everyone.